This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Recently, a cooking website posted a photo of a beautiful arrangement of cut figs, declaring it fig season, so I posted it on social media and asked if anyone local grew figs. When Jackie Williams responded, I had no idea it was going to be such an amazing journey. On this journey, you may want to be near the bathroom, since the gurgle of the koi ponds serves as the soundtrack to our conversation.
Well, I'm Jackie Williams, and I'm a retired garden designer. I believe in designing accessible and edible gardens, and drought tolerant, of course, for slow. Okay, well, let's go around to the fig trees and let me introduce you to them. They're in the backyard. Our back gate alarm.
This is definitely edible, everything that I see here. You've got a lot of stuff going on, and you've got a koi pond as well.
And a greenhouse.
And a greenhouse.
So, well, the koi are only the emergency in case all the rest of the food is gone. But here I have a couple of fig trees, and they have a long history. I married a Navy pilot in 1963. And when we left to start our careers in California, we took a cutting from my grandmother's fig tree in Mississippi, and we planted it. And then as we moved 47 different times during our career, we took another cutting and planted it in the new place. So these figs have, while they look small, have really quite deep roots in my family and in our history of moving. So that's been kind of fun. And they're not like the local figs, which are mostly mission figs, and they're big and black. These are small. As you can see, they're a lighter purplish color, and they're quite sweet when they're ripe.
Yes, they're kind of brownish.
They're called brown turkey, and not turkey from the animal, but from the region of Turkey. They're a Mediterranean fig that was originally from Turkey.
So you moved 47 different times.
We did.
And so you're responsible for the migration of this fig from where?
Well, we first were stationed in Coronado, and then we went back to Pensacola, and we've been in Norfolk, Virginia. We went down to Cuba for a while.
So all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My husband was a Navy pilot.
Okay. You said it's a Mediterranean plant, and you've been in a lot of different climates. So is it easy to grow? I mean, this plant is huge.
It is, and the interesting thing is figs can, by and large, take a pretty hard freeze. Not like places where it snows and stays cold for a long time. But if it goes down to 20 overnight for a while, it'll be fine. They'll come back. So in the south, where we lived in those places, Virginia and places like that, it got very cold in the winter and froze for days. And the fig survives. It's a good choice for out here because we so seldom get freezes.
Right.
And I don't know that it might do in Paso because it can stand a freeze. But, you know, if they didn't have one of those killer frosts.
Obviously, during the growing season, it needs the heat.
And that's the problem. You can see a lot of these figs are still green, Father Ian. And the reason is because we didn't have our heat until this recent heat wave. And they really need the heat. So since the day, 2 weeks ago, when it was so hot, everything on the tree has started ripening. And I've given away, I have a box here that holds 12 jars, and I've given away maybe 4 or 5 of those.
Oh, God.
So it's been picked up until yesterday.
You say you've given away several pounds worth of fruit.
Oh, at least.
But this tree is so big that there's a lot of fruit on this at every stage. There's green ones that are the diameter of about 1/2 inch, all the way up to ripe ones that are about 1.5 inches in diameter. So how long is this tree going to be producing?
It'll go until all the trees are ripe and picked, and that's usually in September. Some of them winter over if it gets really cold before they get ripe. And the way we know that is because all the leaves will be off the tree. So when the leaves are all off the tree, that's the end of the season.
Okay, and the ones that haven't ripened won't ripe.
Right. But they'll stay on the tree, and then when in the beginning of the next year's season, they'll be really large, much larger than these.
Will they be ready earlier than the new fruit?
Yes, those were the first ones to come, and of course they've all been picked.
So you'll kind of end up having an early crop and then the main crop at the end of the summer.
No, it depends on heat, because the next year's crop starts right exactly when the last year's does. They might be a little further out on the limb. And the way you root this is you just cut a little limb off and put it in a jar of water in the kitchen window or something. And it'll grow roots, and then you just put it in dirt. And figs like to have their feet crowded, so a fig tree will grow like in a wine barrel for many years.
Okay. There will be pictures of this one on the podcast page. This started from a cutting how many years ago?
Well, it was in a barrel for quite a while before I put it in the ground, but it started from a cutting in 2000 when we moved here.
Okay, so it's only 20 years old.
Right.
And it's really big.
You know, though, the reason it's not sky high is because we cut it down every year because, we used to go to the farm supply fruit seminars out there, and the professor that taught them said, just remember, prune low, fruit low, pick low. So we're not having to be up on ladders to pick. So we cut it down every year.
You've got plenty of fruit on this.
Yes.
What do you do besides make this jam?
My grandmother was famous for her fig preserves. Well, I like jam better than preserves, but I still use her same recipe, just smush them up at the end.
What's the difference between jam and preserves?
Preserves are the whole fruit, and they sit in a simple syrup and a sugar syrup, and then you put them on the stove in a water bath and seal them in the jars. The jam, before you put them in the water, in the jars, in the water bath, you smush them. I just smush them with a potato masher. The other thing I do is I cut the stems off. When you do preserves, you leave a piece of the stem on, and it makes the whole fruit stay together.
Sounds like it's harder to spread on toast, though.
Oh, it is, but then it's great to pull right out of the jar and pop one in your mouth.
What do you do with fresh ones?
We eat them. We've been eating them the whole time they've been ripe. Just right off the tree, or rinse them and put them in a bowl in the fridge. There's one in there in my fridge now. My kids were all here last week, and they took them back to San Francisco and L.A. and San Diego, so we share.
So that's good for the digestive system.
Yes, I think they are.
Do you ever dry any of them?
I tried that last year, Father Ian, and I must have left them in my dryer too long because they were kind of like little rocks. Now, I buy dried figs, so I'm sure that I could. Usually I just go ahead and can them so that they'll have enough to last all year.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, picking Turkish brown figs. Jackie Williams has been a real-life Johnny Appleseed with her fig cuttings. You got these plants all over, in 47 different parts of the country. Have you ever revisited one of those plants?
Oh, yes, often. In Coronado, we had one, and we loved it. In San Diego, we lived over by the golf course and had a great one in the courtyard there. So some of my 47 moves were within the same town. We'd get stationed somewhere and then be in one house and then move to another. But we've also gone back to my grandmother's. I got a cutting from one of her figs. After she was already passed away, I visited her old house and took a cutting from one of her trees the month before Hurricane Katrina came. So that's been some time ago, and I got it started and then shared it with one of the kids. So we have cousins in Texas who have them. Our whole family, my grandmother Ida Alice Daniels Reeves, was called Mammy, as they do. And so Mammy's figs are all over the country.
Wow, that's amazing. You are a gardener.
Yes.
So you know about these things. Is there any element of invasive species of the fig?
No. You might think so in California. If you're driving around and you see along creek beds and so forth, you'll see wild figs out in the countryside. But an invasive species indicates that it's replaced a native species by being so prolific. And I wouldn't call these that prolific. They do recede, and they'll travel down the creek and sprout up somewhere else. But they're not prolific enough to really take off like some of the grasses have and that kind of thing.
Will anything push out a fig?
Well, if you let gophers get at the roots on a baby one, you'll lose it. But no, they have a white milky substance in their stems. I think that keeps most things from eating them, like a lot of succulents do. So even though they're not poisonous, that's one of the things that usually keeps other critters from eating them. Although once when we were in San Diego, we woke up one morning to hearing an animal in the front yard, and we went out and there was a fox up in the tree feasting on our figs. So that was kind of fun.
Even enjoyed by the foxes.
Yes.
So can I dive in here?
Please do.
Okay, so what am I looking for?
Well, feel one of the ones that's kind of dark. Yes, that one's a good one. Does it feel soft?
This one feels, it feels plump, not soft.
No, that's soft enough. Instead of pulling it that way, you want to push down on the stem.
So you actually, I want to break that off.
Yes.
Okay.
And then if you want to cut it to clean it, you'll just cut it across here.
Right below the stem.
Right below the stem. So, yes.
Okay.
So, yes, shall we pick a few?
Yeah.
I can help you pick if
it's
you
hard
want.
To do this.
Well, it's fun. And I'm happy to share some with you.
Okay. Some are really, really ripe. What happens if you eat one that's underripe? What does it taste like?
They don't have their flavor developed completely, just like any other fruit. If you wait and pick them when they're ripe, they'll have a better, more full, rounded flavor. And that's true of oranges, lemons. Like, so often I wait on my citrus until they actually fall off the bush and then take them in, because they're really much sweeter then.
What's the flavor difference between these and the Mission Fix?
I believe these are sweeter. You'll have to take some home and do a taste test. Do you have a Mission Fig tree?
I do not.
Oh, do you know someone who does?
I do not.
Well, you can find them all over town. They're black. There's some down on the creek if you want to take the bridge across the creek there.
Okay. Oh, right downtown.
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy access.
And if you pick those, you'll see they are a little more pithy. They're certainly larger.
When I went to the creekside in downtown San Luis Obispo, the giant untamed fig tree across the creek from Mission Plaza was full of figs, but they were green and hard. I didn't get to do the side-by-side comparison tasting. Will these ripen on the counter?
Yes, they'll keep ripening, and you can put them, if you like, in the sun. Like, we have a table in the sun in our sunroom, and they ripen there. We're glad the figs come in over a couple of weeks.
Well, I think that's plenty. I think that's more than plenty, actually, to figure out what to do with. So you like making preserves and jam, or eating them plain.
I do.
I should compare them with a Mission Fig, and then maybe figure out a way to do something interesting.
You can certainly cook them. You can make galettes and tarts. You can put them in pancakes. Any way you would use a stone fruit or any other fruit.
Do you do certified organic gardening?
I'm not certified. You have to do a lot of paperwork for that. And this is for our own consumptions. I think you have to be in production to be certified. But it certainly is organic, because we feed birds here. We have kids that come and eat. We share our vegetables with our friends, and we do not use chemicals. We have many delightful bugs, lots of little caterpillars and pests. And right now we're battling ants, and we're hoping a flicker moves in the flicker box to eat ants. Usually, if you find that you have something going on in your garden, there's a way, a companion plant or an animal or a bird or a bug that you can plant or have that will balance that. So you want a balanced ecosystem. You don't want to start introducing killer items, especially like we have gophers here. If we poisoned our gophers, they would go running out in the field, and we have hawks, and that would kill the hawks. So it's really important not to certify organic, but not to use chemicals that pollute our environment.
What you put in and take out of the ecosystem goes both ways.
Exactly.
So the hawks kill the gophers, so they don't kill your plants. But if you put pesticides on your plants, which kill the gophers, it kills the hawks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or if you put poisons out for them, rat poison. People use those all the time, and mouse poisons. You can get a really good little mouse traps. You just put peanut butter in there, and they come and go in it. Oh, it's, my sister's moved it, I guess. Yes, and this is a gopher trap. You just push that down in their hole, and it catches them, and then we can release them, throw them in the field, and the hawks eat them, and it doesn't hurt them. Here's a ripe one. And you can see one that was lunch for a blue jay probably there.
Yeah. How do you get in the middle?
Oh, I just move the branches apart and get in there. You want to have some long sleeves on. Some people are allergic to fig leaves. It'll make you itch. So you're going to want to wear long sleeves before you go climbing in there.
I didn't climb in there. I got enough to experiment with and went on my merry way. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, and Jackie Williams has just enlightened me on the wonders of growing figs. One sunny December morning, I was sitting on the back patio of a local coffee shop. I had been there many times before. I was probably working on a sermon, and you know how you do that gazing into the middle distance when you're reflecting? Well, the middle distance happened to land my eyes upon a two-story, two-wall, sprawling vine covered with figs. I took a photo, which actually only showed the large green wall, posted it on social media, tagged my sister that she should make fig jam when they are ripe. Lots of fig jam. Then Christine Hill, who is much more versed in horticulture than I, put in her comments, which probably saved my life, and she expanded on them more recently.
I'm thinking about the old saying, if these walls could talk, and I'm going to add the word vines. Vines and walls could talk, because never a truer thought about Linnea's courtyard and the creeping fig vine that grows in the back patio. I can't imagine how many people have sat back there and looked up above and seen this amazing vine that travels the complete expanse of the patio. And I would imagine that most people pretty much ask the same question. Do you think that I could eat this? Well, I have no doubt that the staff has spent a lot of time and energy cleaning up the spit-out fruit that people have discarded out of their mouths because of this bitter taste and this sticky white milk that is considered poisonous when it gets on the skin and causes severe rashes. The mouth will even swell up. So it is considered poisonous, and one's question is answered clearly and immediately. Nature is so interesting, and it's complexly woven. So I ask, why would the fig tree produce a fig that is safe and revered for its offerings in so many different kinds of recipes, and the creeping fig fruit be poisonous when they look so similar and they are from the same family? I just know and I trust Mother Nature. There is a good reason.
I didn't do any experimenting, no playing with food with the figs. The playing with food bit I outsourced.
So, Dusty, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
I didn't do anything with figs. I did my usual. I had figs with blue cheese on toast. I had figs with blue cheese and bacon. You know, that's how I eat my figs. So I devolved my responsibility of playing with food to you to see what you could do with figs. So what did you end up doing with figs?
Naturally, of course, they went into a cocktail. It was actually really fun and fortuitous because I do enjoy figs. And don't get me wrong, your way of doing figs is absolutely pleasing to me. If they show up on a cheese plate, I'm ecstatic, but also content to drink them in this instance. An idea for a cocktail came to me fairly quickly because I was trying to pull elements out of a cake that I recently had just had that had figs incorporated into it. So it kind of led me into these flavor profiles that I already knew were going to work really well together, because I enjoyed them in the cake that I had.
That's cool.
So I just kind of took the figs. I macerated a handful of them, crushed down with some demerara sugar, which definitely has a little bit more of those malty molassesy tastes to it. And then paired that with some black peppers. Black pepper really brings out the sweetness and the floral qualities of the figs. And then some amaretto to mimic some almond flavoring that had been in the cake, and had a tamarind glaze, kind of added that tartness.
So a tartness that matches the flavor profile of figs, whereas we normally think of cocktail tartness with grapefruit juice or some sort of citrus lemon lime, which doesn't go with figs.
Yeah, it would have masked the flavor of the figs too much. Shake all the ingredients together, strain it into a beautiful coupe glass, and then garnish with a cut slice of fig, really showing off that flesh that is so iconic when we think of when we cut a fig in half and it's got that kind of green rim with that beautiful jewel tone, almost amethyst-like quality in the middle.
Most importantly, how did it taste?
Oh, it tasted absolutely delicious. It was like the liquid version of that cake that I had, so I was quite pleased to add this one to my repertoire.
Exactly. And is this a drink that you will make again? Is it going to go into your cocktail book?
Absolutely. Also because it photographs really well with those iconic fig look, but it also tasted really delicious and had a really fun nuance and balance to it. It didn't taste like a cocktail that I'd previously had, but definitely I may have made a batch or two for myself once I had the syrup ready to go already. Waste not, want not.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to taste it. I think I would have enjoyed it. It actually sounds quite healthy and wholesome. If you pass by a fig tree, not a fig vine, and there are ripe fruit weighing it down, do the tree a favor and pluck yourself a basket of figs. All manner of delicious foods and drinks will fill your dinner table. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.